What makes someone an American? Is it about language and religion, where we were born and where we live, or our attitudes toward things like the rule of law and a diverse society?
Those can be controversial questions in a time of divided politics and tension over immigration and citizenship. But a recent survey from the Voter Study Group finds most Americans agree on a lot of key elements of American identity across party lines.
John Sides is an associate professor of political science at George Washington University and editor-in-chief of the Monkey Cage blog for the Washington Post, where he wrote about these survey results. John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, John, before we get into the results of the survey, you write about two different ways of thinking about citizenship as an ethnic category on one hand or as a civic category. Can you lay out those two different ways of thinking?
Sure. If we think about citizenship or American identity in terms of ethnicity, we're going to look at who people are. We're going to ask, where are you from? You know, what's your skin color? What's your religion? If we're interested in thinking about American identity as a civic quality, we're going to ask you, you know, what do you believe? Do you support American values, American ideals, American institutions, things like that?
And there seems to be agreement in the survey for the most part. It's the civic stuff there that you just mentioned, those attitudes and ideals that people tend to agree makes us American.
Sure. So the survey comes from December of 2016, and it's asking people, how important are each of the following criteria for being American? And the criteria that get the largest majority of people saying that they're important are things like respecting American political institutions and laws, having American citizenship, accepting people of diverse racial and religious backgrounds. I mean, some of those things I think are really probably at the core of who we think we are as a country. Our ideals, which not only include, you know, the democratic institutions that we have, but also include this ideal of accepting people of diverse backgrounds. And large majorities of both Republicans and Democrats think those things are important for being an American.
Right. And this is a time when we talk about partisan divides and political tension, including over things like who we are as Americans. Were you surprised to see this level of agreement across parties?
In some sense, really, no. I think that these are just consensual things. I mean, you could certainly say that the devil's in the details in terms of which political institutions and laws or which kinds of racial and religious backgrounds. We can get to that in a minute. But I do think that these things are and have been for quite some time really at the core of what Americans think about who they are. I mean, if you go back to some of, you know, our founding documents, you look at the rhetoric of political leaders. I mean, I think one of the things that has always been held up as a crucial part of the American experiment has been a body of beliefs. You know, we have never been a country that's been founded on, you know, one particular ethnicity, one particular religion, one particular skin color. We've always had diversity in those things, but what we have had in common is a set of beliefs about, you know, how we should structure our government and what we should aspire to as a people.
There does seem to be tension, and it may be something that this didn't quite get into, but over, as you say, which kind of diversity, which religious groups fit into that diverse mix. One question that was asked on this is, how important is being Christian as part of American identity, and what kind of results did we see there?
So this is overall, you know, something that the approximately 42% of Americans think that is important to being an American. So it's clearly not a large majority of people. That said, a quality like being Christian is the one that elicits the most disagreement across party lines. So among Republicans, for example, about 56% of them think that this is an important criterion, but only 30% of Democrats think that. And Trump primary voters were a little bit more likely even than Republicans as a whole to support this. And I think, you know, this divide over being Christian and the importance of being Christian gets at, I think, some of the crucial debates that we have today about, for example, admitting Muslims to this country and whether a group like Muslims can really fully assimilate to this country and support our ideals. And I think there's a lot of question about that and division about that in the public as a whole, and it's reflected in this particular question about the importance of Christianity for being American.
So within the 40% overall, 40% mm-hmm. range overall on being Christian, 50-some percent for Republicans. Compare that to the numbers when people are asked, how important is it to respect American political institutions and laws? What kind of numbers were there?
Yeah, so now you're looking at... 93% of Americans think that's important. 90% of Democrats, 97% of Republicans. It really is a very, very small number of people who don't put any weight on that.
So again, there seems to be consensus on the civic side of things when you look at the difference in those numbers.
Yes, absolutely.
Talking to John Sides from George Washington University about what it means to be American. As defined by Americans in some recent survey information, a survey asked questions in different categories, asked people to rate how important these things were to American identity, to being an American. Here's one that we haven't gotten into yet. Being able to speak English, John, what did people have to say about that as part of American identity?
Sure. So being able to speak English is something that the majority of Americans thinks is important. About 85%. And there's a little bit more disagreement among the parties there. So, for example, 96% of Republicans think that's important compared to 75% of Democrats. But still, that's 75% of Democrats agreeing with it as well. And I think, one of the things that's been true in the United States, as we've, admitted large numbers of immigrants from a variety of countries stretching back over, the last couple hundred years, is that I think that, having a common lingua franca has been, integral to the goal of I think, forming, one people out of these many different groups. And I think Americans today seem to retain a belief that having that is important. It's not to say that the mere presence of other languages in the country is a problem. Americans are going to disagree about that as well. But it's just to say that I think there is more consensus on the question of should English be one of the languages that people can speak.
Now, a piece you've written since you wrote about these survey results looked at white identity, European-American identity, and how that plays into politics. That was one of the questions in the survey. The category was how important is it to be of European heritage or descent to being an American? Where did that come out in the results?
That's one of the least popular things, actually. About only 20% of Americans say that that's important. Only 20%, that's low, relatively speaking. Whether that's low or high in absolute terms, of course, will depend on your perspective. And this is not something that's embraced really by either parties. 17% of Democrats, 23% of Republicans say it's important. So, both groups in some sense are rejecting what I think is probably the most overt and exclusive way of defining American identity, at least in the list of criteria that we gave to people.
And you wrote, again, more recently about white identity and how it fits into the Trump campaign and Donald Trump's support. How did Trump supporters break out on this question?
Yeah, so, most Trump supporters, don't think this is important. About 30% of them say that it's important, which is a little larger than among Republicans as a whole, and I think reflects a little bit about what was distinctive about Trump voters. When I say Trump voters, I'm referring to Trump voters in the primary here, mm-hmm. to kind of isolate his, core group of voters. I think that the role of white identity more generally was certainly important for Trump's rise. And there, I think, the kind of key things that you want to try to measure to identify that is a perception that among whites that, that they're losing out on opportunities to other groups, in particular to non-white groups or minority groups of different kinds. That, I think, is one of the central concerns that if you ask people, to express, how much of a problem do you think it is that whites lose out, or how often do you think they lose out, that's the thing that keeps coming up as being sort of strongly associated with Trump support early on during the Republican primary. So it's not the same as saying that whiteness is important to being an American. I think it's expressing, maybe it's related, but it's expressing a somewhat different idea about the position of whites in the country and how well they're doing relative to others.
John Sides is with us from George Washington University, looking at what it means to be American, with the results of a recent survey showing a lot of agreement on some of the core principles that make someone an American.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What does the word American mean to you? Is it official citizenship, maybe being born in the country, living here? Is it about civic attitudes, maybe accepting the rule of law, embracing a diverse population? Do ethnicity and religion or language play a role? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're talking about what it means to be American. A recent survey finds a lot of agreement among Americans, even during a divided political time. John Sides is with us. He's an associate professor of political science at George Washington University.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What's your answer to the question, what does it mean to be an American? What matters most? Is it attitude, ethnicity, place of birth, language, religion? You name it, and call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers. Matt is on the line in Milwaukee. Matt, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to bring up, Matt?
I like to think of the America, the word America, as an idea having to do with freedom and liberty, having similar to what the Founding Fathers had envisioned, most of them at least, and like the Articles of Confederation, civil liberties and economic liberties and whatever may be left of those, similar to what's referred to as the remnant, a group of people that still believe in the values that were around at the time of the founding of the country.
Matt, thanks a lot for the call. So John, Matt saying embracing the values of the Founding Fathers, focusing on the civil and, it sounds like, economic liberties there.
Yeah, that's what I understood him to say, and I think that's at the core of what civic identity is meant to be. And again, it's not to say that we don't have debates about liberty or freedom, how much there should be, what kinds of freedom, and the like. But in some sense, it is still a relatively inclusive form of thinking about American identity, because there's nothing that I can do to change my skin color. It's obviously very difficult for people to change their nationality or even their religion, but to be able to accept a set of ideals is quite, I think, common. And one of the things, the little story that I used to open up the piece that I wrote about this was a description of a number of people who had taken the oath of citizenship on July the 4th this year, and one of them was an Iranian software engineer, and when he said, when he was asked by the reporter why he wanted to become an American citizen, he said, I like the system here. I like the rule of law. You know what to expect and what not to expect, so you can plan. That's a major part of why I wanted to be a part of America. And so, embodied in that, I think, is this the civic idea of citizenship.
Thanks for the call, Matt. We'll go next to Goodberger in Osceola. Hi.
Hi, in Osceola, Wisconsin.
What did you want to tell us about?
Well, my story is that I immigrated in 2002 through the diversity visa lottery, which I had taken part in for several years. I finally won my green card for myself and my family in 2002. So we had the green card, and I was hired immediately after coming here. But when we became citizens about 6 years ago, that's when I truly felt I had the right to call myself an American.
Well, congratulations on that, and thank you for sharing your story. So for, as you were talking about in the story, you were just sharing, John, we hear there that when you become that citizen officially, that's when people feel American. And getting back to that survey, that a lot of people thought that was pretty important, having that American citizenship.
Yeah, 90% of people said that having American citizenship was important to being an American. And I think that reflects actually a relatively inclusive vision in this country, in as much as that we offer citizenship to people, who are immigrants. And, we obviously, there's a process for doing so, but, relative to other countries, who have been, I think, more exclusive in their conception of who can get citizenship. You know, many countries do not have the opportunity to become a citizen simply by virtue of being born in the country, right? So we have that the birthright citizenship idea here as well. And so in that sense, I think that saying that we think having citizenship is important to being American is really asking kind of a baseline commitment, right, to this country. But given how we do practice the granting of citizenship, it's, you know, obviously it's open to quite a wide range of people.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We go next to Tim with us in La Crosse. Tim, hi.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to say, I've listened to what everybody has said so far, and I just wanted to say, being an African-American male and living in the United States, my grandmother and her sisters are a survivor of one of the worst race riots in the history of this country, which happened in 1921 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I'm from. And in her lifetime, she probably never dreamed that she would see a black president. But she always raised me to believe that, you know, follow the law, you do the right thing. And, you know, things like what Barack and Michelle did can come true one day. So I remember seeing him, you know, get sworn in the office and how it made me feel knowing that my grandmother and her sisters would all have loved to have received the blessing of seeing that. And it gave me a lot of hope. And it helped me give a direction to my children, telling them that, see, the American dream does exist. It is real. It's not a pipe dream. But I feel like, you know, when everything played out the way that it did in this election, a lot of people do not want to believe it. But, you know, I worked a campaign, obviously, for the opposition. It's not really important who I supported, but the key is it's like a lot of hate was pumped in order for this election to play out the way that it did. And my 16-year-old daughter even asked me, you know, does this mean that if you do the right thing, things won't pay off for you? And no, I truly believe that they can. But there's a lot of disparaging because, like, I'm an educated person. I attended college, but I also want to point out something too. I'm alive because of the Affordable Health Care Act.
And Tim, you've given us a lot to get into there, and I want to, before we forget some of the main points, John, getting away from the survey a little bit, people, Tim's background as an African-American, not always feeling like they were treated as Americans by others. What do you think?
You know, I think that Tim's good comment hits at one of the challenges of, you know, I think the entire American experiment, which is that, you know, a majority of us can easily agree in the context of a survey where, you know, you're just talking to a person on the phone. It's not the hardest thing to do. That, yes, it's important to accept people of diverse racial and religious backgrounds. That's key to being an American. But then figuring out exactly what that means on the ground and actually creating not just a degree of acceptance, but also a degree of inclusiveness and justice for people who have experienced discrimination. You know, that's what, of course, is proven to be more difficult. And I think Tim also pointed out one other thing that is important, because he mentioned the outcome of this particular election. I think one of the things that, you know, doing polls and surveys can oftentimes tell you is that if you think about public opinion as a whole, I mean, there's, you know, there's enough variation in the way that Americans think about things that, or enough sort of complexity in the way they think about things that different ideas or sentiments can come to the fore, and that's really not going to depend upon the public. You know, that's going to depend upon what politicians and political leaders are doing and saying, you know, what they're asking of the public. If you want the American public, if you want to bring to the fore a conception of American identity that is more exclusive, you can find that in American public opinion, and you can find a substantial number of voters who will agree with parts of that. But if you want to bring forward a vision of American identity that's more inclusive, that's focused on civic ideals and the like, you'll find a lot of people that support that as well. So part of what I was trying to say in this piece was, you know, at times it's not so much important what the American people think or what they tell a pollster. You know, it's important what political leaders are asking them to do. And to the extent that we want a politics of American identity that is less divisive, I think it really starts with the rhetoric and actions of political leaders.
Thanks a lot for the call, Tim, as we talk to John Sides from George Washington University about what it means to be American. Back to our callers. Josie is with us in Madison. Josie, hi.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Good. What did you think?
I think that your love of country and your pride in being an American is so much more important than things like speaking English. On a personal note, I'm married to an immigrant who moved here when he was 8. My mother-in-law lived here for 32 years. She doesn't speak a word of English. I've never had a conversation with her. But she is so proud of being an American. She's been a citizen for about 22 years now. And she owned a restaurant for about 20 years. And her only day she took off every year was the 4th of July. She didn't even close the restaurant the day her son got married.
Josie, thanks a lot for that call. As we start to wrap up, John, you were just talking about maybe lessons from this this survey for political leaders. What are you hoping that we, the public, and political leaders take home from this?
Well, I think that, one reason I wrote this piece was that I think that we have a lot of conversations about disagreement and division, and I think that's real. I mean, those are based on real differences of opinion about all kinds of political issues. We certainly see political rhetoric that seeks to play on those divisions. And I think I wanted to highlight that there are those divisions, but there are also areas of consensus. So it is possible to have a conversation about core issues in this country and the meaning of American identity itself without having it devolve into an argument. It just depends upon what kind of conversation we're asked to have. You know, if we're going to have a debate about Muslims in this country, that's going to create more divisions. But if we're going to have a debate that says that we think that people who come to this country from a variety of religious faiths can be American by virtue of what they believe, you know, kind of what Josie was articulating there, then that's not going to necessarily provide as much grist for these kinds of divisions.
That's a good place to... It's a good place to leave it. John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's John Sides, Associate Professor of Political Science at George Washington University. You can read his piece, by the way, on what it means to be an American and all these survey results. We have a link over on the Central Time Facebook page.
If you've been on the internet today, you may have seen a lot of pictures of cats. Okay, you're saying this is like every other day, except you may have seen even more pictures of cats than usual.
Today is International Cat Day, and people have been celebrating by using the internet the way it was intended to be used, as a never-ending source of funny cat pictures and memes.
Along with all those pictures, Merriam-Webster Dictionary reprinted the definition of cat from the 1828 edition of Webster's, and it includes this. The domestic cat needs no description. It is a deceitful animal and, when enraged, extremely spiteful.
Well, not really in the spirit of 2017 International Cat Day, I guess.
No.
But cats have their personalities, for better and for worse.
They certainly do. And we've seen, I think, tons of kitty personalities on the internet.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's okay. It makes us feel better about life, right?
Yeah. And people clearly like dressing up their cats. In funny ways, I saw the entire cast of Gilligan's Island recreated by cats.
By cats.
Or, you know, by cat owners. I don't think the cats made the little Gilligan.
Yeah, the cats did not look to be totally on board.
I
could be reading them wrong, but I didn't think they were completely buying in.
Don't take a cat on that 3-hour tour. I don't think they're going to appreciate that.
Yeah, cats don't like water.
And you have a new kitten.
We do have a new kitten.
So you're
in the
celebrating
house.
Extra.
Yes, she's fabulous. And I have to say, you know what? Cats are okay.
Cats are okay.
I like them.
Words we can all live by here on Central Time.